Hi, I'm Francis Hellier, and welcome to my brand new podcast, Metaverse. This is a podcast for the future-minded, a series for anyone on the hunt for the next big thing and all its possibilities and implications. This is Tomorrow's World Today. With each episode, I will chat to those at the top of their fields, from futurists in crypto and space travel to forecasters in business and tech. Together, we will ask the question, what's next? Today, I'm joined by Katarina Guerra, co-founder and CEO of Immutable Insight. Founded in 2018, the advisory uses scientific analysis to advise and service companies in the blockchain and crypto industries. Appointed to the role in 2019, she manages the BaFin-registered crypto hedge fund in Germany, Blockchain Funds, and serves on the board of the Fürstlich Castellsche Bank. Named as one of Capital Magazine's top 40 under 40, she was also nominated as a blockchain expert for parliamentary hearings at the German Bundestag. She hosts the popular blockchain podcast Block 52 with thousands of listeners across the globe. Katarina, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Francis. It's my pleasure to be here.
So let's get started. You've been deemed an expert on blockchain at the German Bundestag. What was it that first got you into this?
Very originally, I think my blockchain career started before blockchain was there because monetary theory was always something that intrigued me. Eventually, I got hooked in the 2016, 2017 emergence of the ICO bubble. And back then, I was still working at a private equity fund in London. And I remember that back then, it was a lot of freaks. And I thought that, you know, this is the space that I wouldn't see myself in just for the state that it had. And then when the bubble burst in 2018, I kind of thought that now is the right time to clean up and professionalize the space. And so finally, full time, I dedicated my professional life since 2018 to the blockchain space.
That's amazing. So what are your thoughts on the future of blockchain and society's adoption of it?
I think that blockchain will be the next internet. And I think that blockchain will enable us with a paradigm shift on financial, but also productive industries, and most importantly, also society. So in a sense, it will change business and the people and the people's lives.
That's really interesting. And so let's go back again to the German Bundestag. How did that actually play out? And so what sort of thing were you responsible for? And if you can talk a little bit more about that, that'd be great.
So my first appointment was back in March 2019. And the first committee where I was appointed as an expert was the Finance Committee. And back then, our exclusive focus with our real-time analytics, which is the core USP of our company, we did anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism analyses. And I was talking about the effectiveness that real-time analytics can have when you combat money laundering. And I was proposing that we were moving from a SEPA or banking transfer system to a blockchain-based payment system. Because if we wanted to effectively eradicate the $5 billion money laundering each year, then this would be the way to go. So this was my initial appointment. And then subsequently, I've been also appointed to the digital committee, which was focusing on Facebook's Libra and Diem, and then also later on the digital yuan. So whenever there was an relation to central bank digital currencies, to AML, or to the future of monetary policy in that regard, then, you know, those are the types of topics where my expertise is sought.
Why do you think blockchain will change everything in the future?
In the end, it's a continuation of digitalization. And I think in the end, when you look at the multiple factors where blockchain beats the current centralized system in terms of unit economics, in terms of cybersecurity, in terms of scalability of a business model and go-to-market times, but also because it bridges two big discussions that we have right now. The one is privacy and individual freedom on the one side. And on the other side, you have the core question about identity and safety and representation. So these really, the age-long dichotomy between identity and safety and privacy and liberty is something where the blockchain technology just offers you as a user and a machine as a user or a corporate as a user more benefits. And of course, right now, the whole discussion is overshadowed by some urban myths and by early misconceptions. But I think that's just due to the moment in time. And people think path dependently. And I'm sure on this podcast, you've already talked a lot about why some people may not see the change. But definitely, if you look at the structural benefits that blockchain has, in my mind, there's absolutely no doubt why you wouldn't accept that as the future infrastructure of our digital world.
Do you think that some actors will stand in the way of this development? So can you guide us through some of the threats to the development of blockchain?
As with any transformation, the incumbent beneficiaries will be the biggest ones to resist. And as you know, with structural politics and also business power, those are at the top of the centralized system right now have a relatively strong power position and benefit over proportionally. So let's take the grand seigneurs, the senior hedge fund managers of this world. You know, anybody from Ray Dalio, Ken Griffith, David Rubenstein, all these have been, you know, very successful in the current system. And you could argue that with decentralized finance, not only the bank's value proposition is endangered, but also big asset managers and big global hedge funds. So, and they are, you know, they're regarded as experts in the space, which is, you know, for equities and bonds or whatever their specific capability is certainly true. But would they really be the ones you would consult on the future of decentralized finance? Because if you, you know, transfer that to, and I'm from Germany, so, you know, for many times the CEOs of German automotive companies have proposed that electric vehicles are, you know, not ready. They charging infrastructure isn't there, and you know it's not as efficient because of the batteries and a lot of things of, you know, supposedly unsurmountable structural reasons were given why electric vehicles, you know, wouldn't be succeeding. And it took somebody else, somebody not from the automotive establishment, such as Elon Musk, to change that. Because the incumbents, you know, have a structural principal agent problem. They have a path dependent thinking. They're most likely not going to be the beneficiaries of the new system. There are many, many reasons why those who are at this moment in time recognized as leaders in financial services would be arguing against it. And I think that's exactly what we see. And so I think this is just a question of when the relative power shifts to the newer segments and the incredible growth of decentralized finance, emergence of other thought leaders from the newer space. Also, when you listen to Andreessen Horowitz and you know some more future thinking protagonists, you will recognize the differences. And I think in 3 to 5 years, it's the discussion will have moved on significantly, and those things will be kind of the anecdotes and quotes from 5 years ago.
I think you're right. Now, what role does the government have, any government have, in regulation and policymaking, specifically around blockchain?
By nature, it's a decentralized, cross-border, globally scalable system. Since we have the internet and smart devices quite well distributed across the globe, you really would need to overcome the, let's say, end of connectivity, where right now already so much of your business system depends upon. But the government's direct impact decreases subtly, but it decreases to an extent that politicians most likely don't understand. I think when you look at the strategic, deliberate choices that the People's Republic of China has taken with the Digital Silk Road and at its core, the blockchain service network and the digital yuan, it's to be recognized that there are infrastructure investments you could do as a government. And then, of course, that will be in your power. But right now, when you look at also the big infrastructure bill in the US, how much of that goes into digital infrastructure, such as the blockchain for the future, and how much of that still goes to roads? And I think governments in the West certainly, don't have a structural incentive to plan 10 years ahead and to make such an important forward-looking decision. So one of the things that I'm always arguing for when I'm appointed as an expert to those committees is to just imagine the productivity potential, the massive, massive opportunity for future productivity, economic gains, and therefore also tax for the state, and how you could increase the efficiency and efficacy of the policies, and that it's actually one of the best levers that has been created in a long time to make their job easier. So I'm trying to convey a very positive message around that, but it's difficult still, right? Because there's a lack of technical know-how. There's also a different type of thinking. And of course, the political system incentivizes you to win the next election and not necessarily to make the structural right decision for 7, 10, 12 years ahead.
Let's talk about immutable insight in more detail. Can you tell us a bit about that?
The whole idea about immutable insight is that with blockchain, you have a new quality and scalability of a data source that is in itself by code consistent, and that you could apply real-time analytics to use that data to have better informed decisions. What that means is that whenever you have a blockchain behind it and you run a token or you look at the blockchain as a whole, you can look at usage, you can look at growth, you can look at the dynamic of the two, you can look at the different offerings such as tokens, and in all that, you get a 360 complete view of what is happening on the blockchain. And in the current internet and also the current financial system, you always just have a fragmented centralized data. So it really gives you a new era, a new generation for analytics. And that's the core, the USP of what we're doing. We've translated that into three business segments. So the first is asset management, where we have products to invest into the new internet and in the blockchain for retail, professional, and institutional investors. And the second business segment is AML and forensics. That's what we call data integrity. And I've referenced that a little bit earlier when I was talking about the Bundestag. And then the third one is kind of making the token economy happen. So it's industrial analytics or the application of the blockchain outside of the financial system. And in all those three, the real-time analytics component is our unique angle. And so we serve different clients from retail to corporates, either directly with our products or with our advisory services.
Amazing stuff. Thank you for sharing. Can you tell us a bit more about your podcast, Block 52, and where can our listeners find it?
We soon will have our third anniversary already. It started really with a discussion about the podcast landscape in kind of 2018, 2019, where in Germany, there was one podcast that I thought was really of a quality and very scabby that I didn't like. I'm a little bit the type of person, don't complain. And if you don't like something, then just, do it and do it better as you want. And so I decided to start the podcast Block 52. And the 52 just means 1 week, one episode. So every Sunday at 6 CET, we drop an episode. We've accumulated more than 280,000 listeners by now. And we've established ourselves as in the German-speaking region with some selected international interview guests to do what David Rubenstein does with his beer-to-beer conversation on Bloomberg, right? So we get direct CEOs or software developers that concretely talk about what they are doing in the blockchain space, because the whole question about use cases and, is there an industry emerging, I think is best proven wrong by the actual people in the field. So over the years, we've portrayed more than 100 of those type of change makers, let's call them, or people that actually have their profession in the blockchain space. And roughly for half an hour, we interview them about how they got into blockchain and what they're doing and where they see the future in this space.
Incredible stuff. Now, what are your predictions, Katharina, for the next 10 to 15 years? What do you see happening?
So one of my hypotheses that I reiterate many, many times is that we'll be using more tokens than we're using email today. And I think the tokenization will really change lots of our lives, whether it be through kind of smart contract type tokens where we interact, or NFT tokens, so non-fungible, will make our life easier, and we'll be happy to not have two-factor authentication when we make a bank transfer, and we'll be very happy to know our assets are safely stored under our direct access. So I think that is one thing. The other thing is that I think that the nation state and borders will lose in relative importance, because the decentralized network gives you a choice to redistribute power between a territorial driven nation state and a global market. And I think that will be an interesting interesting play, because really the rule of code is more consistent and less discriminatory than the rule of law, with laws being changed and differ even between Canada and the US and Germany and Austria. So I think all those will establish a global market, and it will unleash great productivity and creativity, because also many creative entrepreneurs who are right now not part of a Western stable economy will have access to that market. And I think that gives way to lots and lots of incredible opportunities and business ideas.
What's your take on the metaverse? What does that mean to you?
I think the metaverse is one of those ideas that I have been seeing when I talk about token level four, right? When will what blockchain allows, and also, let's say, the whole other streams of virtual reality and so on and so forth, create that hasn't been thinkable and doable with the previous level of technology? When we first had homepages, we didn't anticipate social media. And now we have blockchain, and we develop a new virtual but reliable reality such as the metaverse. So to me, that's one of those new developments and new themes where I'm just really excited about how it also forces us to reflect on our current status quo and how we can recreate norms and policies and business models for the future by recreating almost like a constitution. It's almost like you, when the first European settlers came to the US and, were dreaming of creating a new land, a new democratic and freer society. The metaverse is the new frontier in that sense. It's the new unknown. It's the new white blank sheet of paper that you can define and create and evolve towards something that fits more 2021 than governments and democracies that have been created many decades ago.
So talking about the next frontier, what does the future hold for you, Katerina? And what's the future hold for Immutable Insight?
I think to me, pioneering something, leading something in a space where nothing has been previously thought, is something that is that I find truly rewarding. I think also it's a great opportunity to reconsider sustainability, to reconsider other effects that we have. And in that sense, I hope we're growing. We're also monetizing on the issue, but we'll be trying to champion and lead in this space. And with our analytics, have a particular lens that lets us make or lets us take better decisions. And I'm pretty sure that with our great and talented team, we're well suited to do so.
Well, fantastic. I wish you all the luck in the world. You've done an amazing job, and congratulations for all you've achieved so far.
Well, thank you very much, Francis. And thank you very much for your intriguing questions and this open conversation.
My pleasure. You've been listening to Metaverse with me, Francis Hellier. Thank you to my guest, Katerina Gihar, for a great conversation. Tweet us at MetaversePod with any suggestions or feedback. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please do share a link on social media. You can sign up to receive an email when a new episode drops at our website, metaverse.fm.